Broadcasting from KUCR Studios in UC Riverside, this is the Highlander Newsroom. I'm your host, Crystal Mims, joined today by
Jessica Baker, Opinions Editor.
Robert Lees, Arts and Entertainment Editor.
Aaron Gretsch, News Editor.
Welcome to the newsroom, the people behind the paper. On today's show, we're going to be talking about Winter Solstice. Yay. It was a fun concert. We're also going to be talking about the Inland Empire teacher shortage, as well as food waste and what we can do to prevent that and why that's happening in the first place and everything. So, yeah, we are going to get started with Winter Solstice. Who attended Winter Solstice?
I know you did.
Yes, I did.
Not I. There.
Yeah, Crystal and I wrote the piece on it. It was... The crowd was, like, really...
They just wanted to turn up the entire time. And I feel like Winter Solstice is supposed to be one of the chiller of the concerts, but you could definitely tell everyone wanted to kind of party.
I didn't know that, like, you could get that lit listening to Post Malone's White Iverson.
I know. A mosh pit, like, pretty much started because of that song, and I was like... Okay.
Can you define what you mean by mosh pit?
Just like people kind of pushing each other and like low key dancing, but it gets kind of violent just because everyone's like shoving each other.
So what was the most violent thing that this mosh pit did? Apparently,
they were like just pushing everyone around. Yeah.
Playful pushes.
And like everyone was going crazy and like yeah, you wouldn't expect them to get turned to that song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised, but I mean, I just backed up and. Tried to wait till it was over.
Actually, I have a small...
No, once All Right was going, though, I was going to start moshing. I wanted to start moshing.
I have a small little challenge while we're talking about Winter Solstice. Don't say the word churn in your description.
We wrote turn in the article.
Because. Oh, God.
You don't like turn?
No, I just kind of want to see, like, I keep hearing the word churn, but, like, maybe try to describe it in a way that's, like, not about being saying churn.
That's turnt. Turnt was center spread material. Our center spread is turnt with the use of the word turnt.
Oh, God.
I mean, I don't know. It's one of those words that I feel like when you say it now, everyone knows what you mean. You know, like it was turnt. Like people are going to know.
They're turned up.
That it was just, I don't know, exciting. What's another synonym for that?
Lit.
Yeah, lit. But that's another kind of a bad one, I guess, if you're trying to
think of a word. Just a quick question. I guess it was just talking about it. So you guys are talking about there's mosh pits. When you're at a concert, like where is your preferred spot? Because I'm either right at the front, like trying to like get really close to the stage, or I'm like at the back near the sound mixing table, just because that's the best sound. So where's your guys' like concert spot?
Definitely up front, as close as I can get.
Yeah, that's how I feel usually. I try to get as close as I can. If I can't, when you're kind of in the middle, it's still kind of bad
especially if you're like in a large mosh pit area, like if you go to maybe Coachella, if you go to like outside lands, like being in the middle sucks.
Yeah, so you kind of have to be like in the front or in the very back or at the top if it's like a
or the edges.
Yeah,
which is kind of
so
weird.
You can like still see. I don't know.
Yeah, everyone hates me at concerts though because I'm the one really tall guy that sticks out. So every time I try to go up to the front, people hate me.
Someone asked you to actually like go down a little bit too.
I was in front of like. The rafters. I should have just said no. I understand they've been waiting there for hours, but I mean, if I had been waiting there, would you hate me if I'm that tall? Can you really hate me?
Well, I'm one of the short people who hate you in this case.
I don't believe in body shaming, Aaron. You embrace your tallness.
Because
nowadays, like, boys are being shamed for being too tall and they're getting, like, plastic surgery where they get their femur shortened, and that's just not the type of message we want to send
that
to our boys.
That has never happened in the history of anything anywhere.
who are some of your favorite performers, Aaron, or did you have one?
Well, you know, I was hyping Doja Cat.
Yes.
Like, the past 3 weeks.
I don't even know who that person is, but I like the inclusion of the word Doge.
Doja Cat is...
You were throwing shade in your article.
She was born in Miami, and I know this because I've been stalking, low-key, her. Like, not stalking, that's a bad word to phrase it. I've been, like, researching her a lot on social media and stuff.
I like
because she doesn't have a Wikipedia page. So I've been seeing a lot of interviews that she was doing and stuff. And, you know, she does, like, conference calls with fans and things. So I've been doing those because she's really cool. And she's also really crazy. But she cool.
I didn't go, but one impression I got just from reading your guys' article, I was at Mariachi Girl, which was wildly different when in all terms of things, but it sounds like the concert could have been better if they had just switched the order of the performers. Put the Dream first, Kalinlo was nice and good in the middle, and put Doja Cat at the end. That's just the impression I got, but they kind of do it by a level of fame.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Well, that's probably why they did that.
Doja Cat was good, I think, to be placed up front, though, because she got the crowd warmed up, and they were...
That's true.
They were crazy the entire time.
Maybe her and Kalela could have been switched. I don't think that would have made that big of a difference, because Kalela's set was more, I don't know, calm compared to the other two. Like, it was just her showcasing her voice most of the time. Doja Cat was kind of hopping around everywhere. The Dream, it was kind of like, oh, this is The Dream. He's like the headliner, so, you know.
He's almost 40.
He is.
We were just happy that The Dream didn't pull off an Omarion where he just completely did not care and hates us.
So, do you think that the change of venue was good at the auditorium instead of at the Hub? Or how do you think that worked out?
It depends. I mean, it was a cool performance, but then again, Yuna was just amazing last year.
A goddess.
Yeah, there's no way. She was just a force to be reckoned with. But other than that, it depends on what type of concert you want. I wrote that the concert that have contributed to a more concert-like atmosphere. However, not that many people showed up. I mean, they didn't even fill the venue there, for one. Yeah. It was a huge venue. It was really big. So I don't see any problem with having it in the Hub.
Okay. Yeah, me too. That's kind of how I felt. I mean, I think it gave it more of like a concert atmosphere, but I still like the idea of everyone kind of just chilling, sitting wherever they want, talking with friends, and it's not that big of a deal. Kind of when I was watching Kalela, I could just like hear people in the back actually just like talking really loud, and I was like, this is weird. If that had happened at the Hub, it kind of would have been different, just because whoever really wanted to see her would have been at the front, and whoever was just kind of hanging out to be with friends, like,
that's kind of weird, because that kind of reminds me of like awkward prom dances where like people who like wanted like get down or whatever people are saying these days, like, are usually in the front, but like there's always like a bunch of like weird stragglers on the way back or something like that. But like the setup that you guys described, because I didn't go, but like it just reminds me of like, I don't know, like awkward high school like dances.
That's
or like
how it was,
or like the Fall, like you guys remember like Dance Dance by Fall Out Boy, like the music video.
Yeah,
it kind of reminds me of that kind of setting, like auditorium. I'm quite sure I'm quite sure they didn't have like similar-esque like decoration or something like that, but like that kind of atmosphere.
Yeah, there were just, like, pockets of people everywhere just kind of, like, hanging out still. So you could definitely tell that people just wanted to go to have a good time. It wasn't necessarily because of the artists, and that could have contributed to why everyone was more turnt during the, like, DJ's intermissions type things, too, and kind
of
talking
about. Well, the songs they were playing, though, too.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Post Malone's White Iverson was the exception that night, but if you're going to play Kendrick Lamar's All Right, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah. But overall, I think it was a good event. And next up is Spring Splash, since there's no heat. So I'm looking forward to...
Which artist would you guys want? Joey B.
I think I've said that before, but yeah, definitely
he's
him.
He's not going to come, though. He's going to be at Coachella.
Yeah. Him or, like, Mick Jenkins, I'd want to see.
Never expect
like, the one time that Cold War Kids actually came by, or, like, Panic! Panic! Disco's not necessarily an alternative, but, like, when Cold War Kids came, I was, like, so happy. I was like, oh, my God, like, something
I saw Cold War Kids at Amoeba, and that was pretty good.
No, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I guess, like, I understand, like, most of the, like, culture of, like, a lot of music for, like, college kids is, like, EDM or, like, techno or something else, but like there's a lot of other music tastes. I mean, I can see like how EDM and like more turn up music is much more something to choose, because like a lot more people get excited or something like that. But like alternative is cool, like maybe have like one person, and like one person out of like the three or four as an alternative to like mix it up a bit.
They do have a band.
They do, but they're terrible usually.
They're terrible.
I don't know. I never like the alternative
when, like,
picks.
Magic or Root. I think they're Magic was so disappointing.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Hopefully. I mean, Spring Splash, actually, it just better be good, because there's no heat and there was this whole
Catronata would be sick to have.
Mm. I just want J. Cole to come just to mess with Miles.
J. Cole already came.
And he went.
Yeah.
And he went.
Okay. Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see, hopefully soon. All right, so switching gears, we're going to be talking about the teacher shortage in the Inland Empire. There's been like a 70% drop in student enrollment in teacher programs, and ever since the 2008 recession, there's been a shortage amongst teachers and things like that. So UCR's Graduate School of Education, in partnership with school districts across San Bernardino and Riverside counties, are attempting to fill these vacancies. They're doing this by offering new signing bonuses and expanding their outreach at job fairs here at UCR and things like that. So what do you guys think about their methods and the shortage in general? What do you think needs to happen?
Well, I mean, before we actually kind of go on, like, maybe necessary information put specifically in this is, like, the teacher shortage itself is in, like, STEM and, like,
right,
special
yeah,
education
math
in
and
that
science,
case. Because, exactly. Like, English and history are still on the rise in terms of, like, teachers.
Yeah, that's where the main shortage is with, like, math and science courses. And
I mean, as someone that was in a science major, I have to say that, like, aspiring to be a... not anymore. As someone that like was in that though, like I'd say like most people want to go to medical school. Most people, like the second most, would be like research or like pharmacology. Like for a lot of people in the STEM fields, getting their bachelor's, like just going to be like a high school teacher or a middle school teacher is like a step down. Like honestly, because teachers don't really get paid very much, and it's kind of a very like terrible sounding job. I mean, because I was in school before and I was probably like a terrible student, so yeah, I mean, I don't know, it kind of makes sense. Special education also, that must be a very difficult field, and unless you have something like a really good incentive, you're not going to draw people.
So it's good that they're doing the signing bonuses. I think they just need to have more people try to, I mean, if teaching wasn't a profession that wasn't so looked down upon in the U.S., I think we definitely have a lot more teachers to go into it, because like you said, they do have, but not every single bio major is going to go to medical school, though.
I know, no, like 2%.
Yeah, and not every single, so it's...
Right, but that dream of becoming a doctor, that dream of, like, becoming, I don't know, like, an engineer, so like, that's so much more higher than it is for, like, becoming, like, a teacher, because, like, the notion of becoming a doctor, the notion of becoming an engineer, like, those are literally, if you had to choose a symbol of, like, what is a success job in America, those two are it.
Yep, yeah. Doctor, lawyer. Those are,
this
yeah.
is major becoming more of the thing now, and that's soon going to be, like, the job where, like, or that's soon going to be, like, the most popular major where only few people can truly succeed as being a business major. Like, and teachers are just going to be on down low.
Yeah, things might not always be that way, but for right now, they're like practically vilified by in certain parts of the country, like for being these like greedy, money grubbing people that just want to like take all the government programs and stuff. So like, yeah, like I wouldn't want to be a teacher in this kind of like zeitgeist of feeling, just because, you know, like people are just going to hate you. Also, you have to deal with kids, and I don't want to.
I mean, if anything, like, my kind of biggest criticism in terms of, like, how, like, the U.S. has been trying to deal with the teacher shortage, like, it could be applied to here, California, and, like, Inland Empire, or, like, this general nation, is just, like, the programs that have been created in order to, like, try to, like, stop this shortage, like, such as Teach for America, or, like, I guess specifically Teach for America. Like, Teach for America is trying to recruit more teachers, but, like, it's such a weird program where, like, they're hiring people who have no training, and, like, put them dressing them right into the classroom. Like those are the sort of programs we see more right now in terms of like trying to solve the teaching shortage.
And what's kind of problematic about that is that a lot of they're replacing a lot of teachers that are close to retirement, so that way they won't have to pay them out the benefits. And that's also kind of why people don't want to go into teaching as much, because they say, well, I'm 2 years from retirement and I'm not going to be able to get the full benefits because I'm going to get sent a pink slip and get replaced of a teacher that's a lot less experienced than I am.
And also they can pay less, too.
Yeah, pay a lot less.
Right.
So what do you guys think can be done in terms of getting more people who are willing to become teachers, or anything that we can do?
Definitely. I mean, we would love to say salary increases, right? And a lot more job protection in regards to that, to prevent certain organizations just...
from just like outright just replacing people who are like younger, or like people who are more experienced, people who actually had training with a certificate program, possibly a master's, not with like young people who are just straight out of college, who have not even specialized in education, who's maybe never had any like teaching experience, straight into like a classroom, and like one of the most areas that need teachers. Like, for example, Teach for America like teaches in like low-income communities where they absolutely need teachers because there's such a large shortage, but like we need more trained people, we need people who are experienced. We can't just have, like, random people.
I say job protection would be good. Give teachers, unless they, like, do something really bad, like minimum, like a minimum contract term where they can, like, stay for this long and be awarded these benefits so they can't get a pink slip at the last minute.
Well, I mean, tenure should protect them from that, though. And I know it's only 3 years to get tenure in a public high school
setting. Then how come people are getting pink slips, like, 2 years from retirement?
That's true. Well, yeah, not exactly. I don't know exactly how that controversy went. But
okay.
Like,
and also, I'd say, like, putting teachers more in charge of administration, because right now, like, administration is deciding stuff and they have to use these faulty methods of, like, determining teacher effectiveness. And I'd say having the teachers be the admins as well as the the employees would probably, like, just improve quality of life, because you'd have a feeling of, like, your own self-destiny too.
And one thing I kind of want
to
highlight.
The university system.
Yeah.
Exactly.
One thing I kind of want to highlight in terms of, like, the proposals that we had, none of the proposals that we mentioned was, like, trying to say, like, oh, in order to, like, get more teachers, we should reinvigorate the passion of teaching, or, like, reinvigorate, like, why teaching matters. It just goes to show you, like, those kind of, like, ideological notions are not enough now. We need actual structural change.
Allow me to hit the kids.
No, you can go away. That is not how you teach people. That is toxic.
Kids to
yeah, I mean, you need, I mean, having a passion is great, but, like, to really make this job more, like, awesome looking is, like, you need to make more, like, structural change in terms of the government, local, state, federal, in terms of how teachers are, like, treated. Like, ideology is not enough these days. Like, I mean, I myself want to become a teacher, and the reason why I want to become a teacher is because of the ideology, but I'm one of the very few people who are willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
in that regard too, do you think there's anything that can be done to encourage people, like, specifically to want to teach in, like, STEM fields? Like, because I know that's where the majority, I believe, of the shortage is. I mean, I know everyone's like, oh, it's hard, or, like, things like that, and maybe they don't want to do that.
I mean, like, I guess I don't really know how to do it in terms of structure, in terms of changing, like, policies in regards to teaching, in terms of, like, actually getting better benefits. But I guess, like, if you want to inspire someone in order to, like, try to get them to, like, teach in STEM, like, maybe we have more programs where we have people literally shadowing teachers or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, maybe in, like, I don't know, I mean, just maybe more, like, hands-on experience in terms of teaching. But, like, even when I say that, I'm kind of skeptical if that would actually work out also. Because how many times have we, I mean, I'm quite, I don't know if we shadowed other people before, but, like, how many times have shadowing actually inspired things? I mean, it's a good thing, it's a good step to do. It's an extra thing that might cause one more person to go into teaching, but it's not an overall, that's a small ripple. It's not a large change in, by any means.
Right.
And I don't know, like, I, again, like support, like, examples, or, like, organizations like Teacher America, or, like, other organizations that are trying to, like, uplift and, like, create teachers like that, like, we can't just work on ideology anymore. We need more structural change.
Okay, yeah. Hopefully things like the bonus and, like, I don't know, certain other ideas they have will be helpful in encouraging people, things like that. But, yeah. Well, if you are just joining us, you're listening to the Highlander Newsroom, broadcasting on KUCR 88.3 FM, streaming online at KUCR.org, on the KUCR app from the App Store, or the TuneIn app on Android. So now we're going to talk about everyone's favorite thing, food. But something bad, food waste. Yes. So, journalist and author Jonathan Bloom came to talk about food waste here at UCR. And he gave a lecture basically talking about why people are wasting so much food, why it's bad that we're all wasting so much food. And one of the things that he highlighted was just the fact that ignorance and people not being educated is kind of why it's all happening. You know, food goes to waste because it just doesn't look right to people, or they just don't know how to manage it. And some things like that can definitely be helped if people were, you know, educated. So what are you guys' opinion on food waste? And
I kind of want to just say that's really a first world problem. I mean, if there ever is one. I mean, what other countries really waste food to the extent that we do? I mean, it's usually a problem not having enough food, so it's thus never wasted. And I think it's kind of shameful that it's really become, like, a sustainability problem here.
Well, due to, like, dissemination of false information by, like, anti-GMO activists, they do waste food in other countries. We've sent, like, GMO rice to parts of Africa and stuff where people are starving, and rather than eat it, they burn it.
Well, if anything, I mean, like, food waste doesn't just happen on an individual level, such as, like, at the dining halls, as I'm quite sure some of us may have seen, like, as our last years. And with that, we'll leave it at that. But also, like, food waste happens at the GMO level, specifically. Like, I don't remember from the talk, honestly, but I just remember, like, a random fact where, like, literally when pickers are like picking fruit or picking vegetables, they're told to only pick like the beautiful fruit,
right,
that one,
yeah,
that looks like, we all do this when we go to like literally a grocery store. We pick like the best fruit that looks good. That's our way how we judge if the fruit or vegetable is good or not. Like, we choose the peach without a bruise. We choose the apple that doesn't have a hole. Like, we grew up in this culture where, like, beautiful food is what we should be eating. Not necessarily the one that's, like, mildly damaged. And the one that's mildly damaged is totally fine, usually.
Yeah.
If there's not a lot of pesticides in it, killing us ever so slowly.
Okay, so what do you guys think we can do in terms of trying to minimize food waste? Is there anything that you guys do specifically, just, like, personally at home, like when you're shopping or trying to preserve food?
I try to eat all the groceries I have.
Okay.
Yeah, that just, because typically wasting groceries really does hurt you. And I don't know why, but lactose-free milk, it'll have like an expiration date like a month ahead of time, but it'll actually expire way before that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll start smelling after 2 weeks. I kind of noticed that.
I actually switched to almond milk just because I bought some almond milk that expires in like December, and even though it's not as good as like the real milk,
yeah,
I pretty much only use it for like I only buy like actual dairy for like coffee and stuff. So it's, you know, it's good enough on cereal that I can't tell the difference, and it's good in like smoothies.
But milk is evil.
What I do is I actually plan my meals just to the point where it's like, okay, I know I exactly need to buy this. And I'll just eat this, and this, and I'll buy like one or two things that I know will, like when I mess up or something, that I can just eat instead. Yeah. And also frozen. Cooking a lot of frozen stuff.
Yeah. Mm. It's not exactly healthy, but I do the same thing.
It's better than wasting food, though.
It's better than it is.
Yeah. Have you guys wasted food before?
Milk, usually, it'll expire.
Produce.
Yeah, that happens.
Meat. Yeah, a lot of bread too. A lot of bread.
Okay, I can't eat a whole loaf of bread. Like, I wish they
really
sold.
Even if it says expired, I still eat the bread if I still have
it's
it.
Bread.
I mean, it has to look really like this is not moldy. Edible anymore.
Sometimes
for me to be
it
like,
feels weird.
Hmm.
I don't know. Like, I can eat a whole loaf of bread. Like, bread is good. Bread is life.
Yeah, I love bread. I eat a lot of bread. But yeah, what do you do, Jessica? Anything to preserve food?
If I have bread that's apparently, like, past the expiration date, I put it in the freezer. And usually, like, you know, like, the little expiration date, like, you can find on eggs? Those are totally untrue. You can keep eggs for, like, a long time, especially when it's refrigerated.
Don't even have to refrigerate eggs. It's exposure to air that actually makes eggs go bad. So bad. So the way to keep eggs the longest would be to, like, bury them in sand.
Mm. Bury your eggs in sand.
The more you know.
Pretty much get a bunch of cat litter. Put your eggs in there.
That's
DIY
not, that is not,
preserving technique.
That is not,
you know,
sand.
I realize I have three hens, and even though it's winter and they shouldn't be laying as many eggs, I just realized it's a riverside winter, so that
they're
means
still laying
really
eggs.
Hot, so they should probably still be laying eggs. So I'm gonna try to go into their pen.
Aaron Gretsch, news editor at the Highlander News, has a bunch of hens and chickens.
He's
and rabbits.
Chicken.
Okay, so what do you guys think can be done in terms of educating people? I mean, obviously, one of the points that he made was that people just aren't educated. And like you mentioned, Jessica, you know, people look at food, sometimes it just looks bad to them, and so they don't buy it, they don't eat it. But sometimes that's not the case. Like, it's okay, you can eat it. So how do you think we can educate others about how not to waste food? And
I think we should launch a massive propaganda campaign where we have, like, starving third-world children on the commercial at that, right?
Print them on your food.
And a huge, like, text that says, how would they feel if you threw out them?
No. I mean, honestly, the biggest thing, I think, is food, like, has all this label, and they write stuff like oat cluster fun, and it's like, you know what they should do is on foods that go bad, the high-risk foods, you got your meat, your poultry, your eggs, cheese, dairy, they're writing, like, store this like this. You know it's bad when this, and, like, for cheese, like, I've had people that, like, if there's a spot of mold on cheese, they'll be like, no, you can't eat it. The whole thing is infected, and it's like, no, you cut it off. Maybe, like, actually printing on the food label how to be more of a responsible and sustainable food eater, which most of the humans are, if you do something like that, maybe people would be less stupid.
If education doesn't work, I recommend very strict laws that involve death sentences if you waste food.
Wow.
Probably not to that
Zero
extent.
Zero to 100 really
not,
quick.
Not to that extent, but I think there should definitely be regulation on how much food restaurants are allowed to waste.
Right.
Definitely. So, and you
yeah,
know,
that's
certain,
definitely
like,
where a lot of waste comes
yeah,
from.
Yeah, a lot of restaurants, a lot of, you know, buffets and stuff. And I understand they have to throw it away because of USDA procedures, but it's just kind of sad where they throw out all the food. I think they should just have it in this other thing and then give it to somewhere, give it, like, find a way to keep it sustainable, or maybe give it to, like, a food recycling plant where they can redistribute the food.
This sandwich is made from 100% recycled ingredients.
That, but, like, rice or something, anything that can be cooked up again in a relatively safe amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, I know, like, Trader Joe's kind of does, like, this thing where, like, any of, like, the leftover food, they actually donate that food to, like, local homeless shelters or something like that. Like, that's really awesome. They solved, like, a lot of, like, I mean, they still waste a lot of food, but, like, that's, like, a step up right there in terms of, like, they're still trying to use the food even after, like, a little bit after expiration or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like there's Starbucks where they throw away all the food after, like, cooking it that day of or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's definitely one of the, like, you guys mentioned restaurants and like places like that. They just waste a lot of food. Okay. Well, this has been the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR 88.3 FM. The Newsroom is a co-production of the Highlander Newspaper and KUCR. The opinions expressed on today's show belong solely to their owners and do not represent KUCR, the Highlander, or the Associated Students. Special thanks to Louis Vandenberg, Monica Taylor, Eddie Valencia, Elliot Fong, Tina Bolt, and Alex Hill. Good luck with the rest of the quarter. Home stretch time, you know, we're almost there. So, yeah, good luck.
Get registered to vote. California has semi-closed primaries. And look at Radar this week. We have previews of the play Argonautica and Fob. Go watch them. They're really good.
Yeah, read our Winter Solstice review. And special thanks to Arlene Martinez, Alex Hill, John C. Briggs, and Professor Haggerty for helping me out with my articles this week. Oh, along with, I believe, Maritza Rodriguez, the dean of the Graduate School of Education, and Doja Cat for having a really cool performance. And Kalayla, because she's cool.
And thank you, Enrico Marconi, for inventing the radio.
Okay. I want you to go to a mirror. I want you to look at yourself. And I want you to ask yourself the question, do I deserve a nap? And that answer is yes, you deserve a nap. Go nap. And with that said, I would say watch out for Bettina Marco's new column, Off the Feet. The second issue of it is coming out next week, and there's already another issue for it, so please feel free to read it.
Woo! Yay. Okay, thank you for listening.